All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you will listen for the duration of the program, but we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In Ezekiel chapter 33, let's begin reading with verse 10. Therefore you, O son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you say, if our transgressions and our sins lie upon us, and we pine away in them, how can we then live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Therefore you, O son of man, say to the children of your people, the righteousness of the righteous man shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness, nor shall the righteous be able to live because of his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, but he trusts in his own righteousness and commits iniquity, none of his righteous works shall be remembered. But because of the iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right, if the wicked restores the pledge, brings back what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins, which he has committed, shall be remembered against him. He has done what is lawful and right. He shall surely live. These passages remind us, surely, of the patience of God. No matter how many years we've been a sinner, whether 5 or 50, if we're willing to repent and do God's will, God will save us. Some worry about whether God will forgive. Well, we don't need to worry. If we repent and do God's will, He forgives us. Don't worry about God's part. Let us do our part. But the passage also reminds us, too, of the patience of Satan. Regardless of the number of years that we may live faithfully, whether 5 or 50, if we do iniquity, our righteousness will not be mentioned. And you know, Satan doesn't mind to wait us out. In Luke 4, verses 1 and 2, Satan is not too shy, nor is he too scared to tempt Jesus. Well, friends, neither will he be too scared to see if I really mean what I stand for. And it's in verse 13 of Luke 4, it says that Satan left Jesus for a season. The New American Standard Version says, until an opportune time. Friends, the devil is an opportunist. He abides his time. And yet look at his success. We're reminded of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was not a bad place, nor was God's law that he gave to Adam and Eve complicated to not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan convinced Eve that God lied, and she gave to her husband, and he joined with her. And in all of this, we see the patience of Satan. Take another example, that of David. You know, when we look at David, you might say, well, Satan, you're wasting your time. David is called a man after God's own heart. And of course, we know of some very positive things about David. When he was very young, he stood up against the giant Goliath in what we read in 1 Samuel 17. And he had two opportunities to kill Saul because Saul was pursuing him. And we read about that in 1 Samuel 24. But in fact, David was even encouraged by others to kill Saul. But yet, David did not yield to that temptation. But, you know, Satan, you would think, had no business fooling with David. You think that Satan felt intimidated by David? Well, we only have to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and we read the story of David and Bathsheba. Then there was Solomon. You remember the young man who asked for wisdom, and he was the one that was allowed to build the temple for God. And yet, in all of his wisdom, we read in 1 Kings 11 that he succumbed to the devil through the influence of his wife. And then Judas Iscariot. Here's a person that's hand-picked by Christ. He's given power to cast out devils and to heal the sick. He ate with the Lord, and he heard the Lord teach. And yet the next picture that we have of Judas is that of a rope with a noose. He hung himself. See, friends, Satan is patient, and he patiently waits for you and me. And this truly is what we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, which says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If we've not obeyed the gospel, then hearing the gospel is a critical point, and we need to realize that Satan realizes how critical that hearing the gospel is. We have a parable, the parable of the sower that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 8. And in that parable, Jesus said there was seed that fell by the wayside, that fell into the rocks, that fell into the thorns, and then there was the seed that fell upon the good ground. And we find in verse 11, in Jesus giving an explanation of this parable, he says that the seed in this parable is the word of God. And so therefore, the hearts of men are what Jesus is describing in the wayside and the rock and the thorns and the good ground. But notice verse 12. Those that were on the wayside, it says, these are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, when you say no to the invitation of the gospel, the devil is pleased. Why do people not obey the gospel? Well, whatever excuse that is given, here's the reason that underlies the excuse. And that we find in 2 Corinthians. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as we begin reading with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You see, whatever excuses that are given, here's the reason that underlies it. Satan blinds their minds. And this blinding can come from, like example in John chapter 12, verse 42. It can come from the fear of others. Here were those that were willing to believe Christ, but they were not willing to confess him for fear of the Jews that they would be put out of the synagogue. See, obeying the gospel certainly is a humiliating experience. You're getting all wet. You're being put under the water. We're coming to God and saying, I don't know how to run my life. I need help. I'm lost. Some young folks say, well, you know, I'm going to obey the gospel someday. No, I don't. You might think you will, but you might not. So then it is that Satan is patient if we've not obeyed the gospel. If we have obeyed that gospel, and that doesn't mean that the devil tucks his tail and runs off and hides, because those who have obeyed the gospel, those who are Christians, are faced with temptation. So the devil says, you know, go ahead, obey the gospel as long as you don't stick to it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 3, he says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, and banqueting. You know, old friends are still going to come around, and they're going to try, and they're going to test us, and if we go down, that pleases the devil well. New converts find out that anywhere they worship, the church has problems. They all don't have the same problems, but they all have problems. Some people let the problems, as we say, sink their boat. It's a shock to new converts to find out that some Christians talk and act the way they do. Some Christians are not what they are supposed to be. You know, in Acts 17, we read of the uproar that took place in Thessalonica when Paul preached there. Well, later, Paul writes a letter to the church at Thessalonica, and in 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 4 through 7, he describes some of the things that we're not specifically told about in Acts 17. Here was a man named Jason who had just become a Christian, and yet what we read about in Acts 17, verse 5, it says that the Jews that were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, they set all of the city in an uproar. And they attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, that is, Paul and those that were with him, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. How would you like to be first obey the gospel, become a Christian, and have this to happen to you? You know, this must have been a difficult and discouraging time for Jason and others who had just obeyed the gospel there in Thessalonica. But you know, folks like Jason are going to be standing in the day of judgment and condemn folks who say, well, you know, I just couldn't do it. You can do it if you want to do it. We must become steadfast. You know, that's all right with Satan as long as we don't stay that way. You know, in 2 Peter 3 and verse 17, it says, beware lest we fall from our own steadfastness. So there have been people whom I've known that have occupied their place in the pew every time the door opened, taught Bible classes. They've been good influence on many, but yet they're going to wind up in hell. And that's an awful thought to think about. Why? Because we get too busy, we attend services, and deprive ourselves of needed strength, we get weak, we quit praying, we quit studying like we ought to. You know, when you find someone turning his back on the church, and you'll find him praying less often. Find someone who starts telling you about what's going on in the church up there, they're losing their steadfastness. It becomes they and them instead of we. And so they return to their former ways, like Peter describes in 2 Peter 2 and verse 2. Peter says in verse 21, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned from it. We all need to be careful because these are things that can happen to us. And again, Satan is patient. We see our time is up. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.